Good evening. It's a good evening to everyone, usually the teens in the room, but tonight everyone, members, church members, and also those across the globe, a warm welcome to everyone that's streaming in the live stream. It's always exciting to think we are here on the eastern part of the country, but people from the west coast and all the way through, if they want to stay awake, they can be even Australia or parts of Africa. So a warm welcome to this Bible study. I would like to start with a simple statement this evening. And thinking about everyone, people, as I make this statement, people, anyone, everyone, including you and me as well, tend to gravitate. We tend to be drawn towards that thing that is central in our lives. Think about that for a moment. That thing that is most important in your life. We tend to be drawn to that one thing that's central in your life. That often takes our focus. It can take most of our attention. If you think about what is central in your life. In fact, that's actually a law. If you're thinking about physical laws, I wanted to read to you, give you a little bit of an excerpt here from just when we think about the laws of physics. Take your mind for a moment. I mentioned we tend to gravitate towards what is central in our lives. Take that thought for a moment and think about the universe. We know that there are billions of stars roughly in each galaxy, and they say there are billions of galaxies. And when you look at a star specifically, let's say our galaxy, let's go to our galaxy, you have the sun, and then you have the earth that gravitates around that star, around that sun. Now you multiply that, we know, and they found out through these telescopes these days that there are many, many planets around certain stars. So there might be stars that do not have planets and others do have. But let's multiply that, the billions of stars there are and the billions of galaxies. We can say there are billions and billions of planets around certain stars. And all those planets, just as the Earth rotates or gravitates towards our star, the sun, so every planet does the same. I just wanted to read to you here. According to the laws of physics, planets in our solar system, so not just the Earth, but all in our solar system, are held in their orbit around the sun by two forces, gravity, and another one is inertia. And they speak about the gravitational force exerted by the sun is strong enough to keep the planets in their orbits. And I just wanted to jump down here to the last sentence. Therefore, it is true that planets always gravitate toward the sun. As they rotate in their orbit, they tend to be pulled towards what is central, and what is central in our galaxy is the sun. But it is a balance between gravity and inertia that keeps them in orbit. So obviously they stay in orbit. There are different factors, but the focus that I wanted to put on is the fact that in our solar system, the sun is central and the planets tend to gravitate towards it. It's a very simple principle. Now the question for us, brethren, is what is central in our lives? What is central in your life? We can think about the physical laws. They don't give us, as I mentioned, about the example that I gave you. It doesn't give us the answer about it. But it emphasized the importance about what is central in your life, what is central in my life. Brethren, God used one man. One man that was a living example for you and me. A man that God could use. And through his life, we can see that God's law, his truth, and his word was central in his life. And who was that man? That man was King David. God inspired him to write the Psalm, Psalm 119. And please stand with me to that Psalm. He was able to keep God's law, to keep his word central in his life. David, King David was able to do that. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening, everyone. A study of Psalm 119 shows us how to keep God's law central in our lives. As simple as that. We're going to go through the Psalm, Psalm 119. If you are there, I'll give you an opportunity to turn there, and those at home are turning to the Psalm as well. But just thinking about that, God used him, everyone, to and inspired him. So how did that happen? And the first thing that we want to talk about is the importance of what is central in your life, what is central in my life. When we speak about something central and you have that idea, I use my hands to show what is central. When you think about what is central, you have that example of a planet, any planet, think about ours rotating or gravitating, orbiting around its star. But what is the importance of when we speak about something that is central? It simply means to be the primary thing, the fundamental thing, or the thing that's having significance in your life, the most important thing in life. Everyone, the simplest way to put it, there are two things in life. I can boil it down to two things. The one thing that's central and everything else. It doesn't mean that everything else is not as important. It's just that there is one thing that is central and then everything else in everybody's life. Think about that for a moment. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to reference. Think about the first commandment. God says in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Thinking about him, he's the only God. If we think about Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, it says that, hear, O Israel, God speaking to Israel, he says, the Lord, our God, is one Lord, or a better way to say it is God alone. He's the only God. He's taking that central spot and then everything else. So here we are. You turn to Psalm 119, and we will, before we pick up in verse 1, I want to give you a bit of a contrast. You think about God's law now, and this is the longest psalm in the Psalms, speaking about God's word, speaking about his law. But I want to go and take you to something. Before we read verse 1, make a bit of a contrast, taking you to an excerpt of contract law, legal law, a legal term and phrases that I use in contracts. I'm going to start, and I'm smiling before I start already, and you'll see why. Notwithstanding any other provisions containing herein, in the event that any party hereto shall be in breach or default of any material obligation, covenant, or undertaking under this agreement, the non-breaching party, at least there's one party mentioned, may, in its sole discretion, pursue any and all remedies available at law or in equity. Now, maybe your eyes are glazing over like mine in the fact that, did you understand what I'm reading? I'm going to continue. Including, but not limited to, specific performance, injunctive relief, or the recovery of damages without prejudice to any other rights or remedies available hereunto or under law. Did you understand what I just read? I didn't understand. It was a long paragraph. I know there were two parties involved, but let's read, brethren. Think about law. This is man's laws contained in a contract. But let's take the contrast and begin reading what God has on his mind for us in Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed Do you ever read that in a contract or when you think about law? God decided, he inspired David to speak and write the first word down in this psalm, and it says, blessed. The undefiled, it means the sincere in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. There it is. This psalm has 176 verses, but this very first verse, we could say, give us a little bit of a summary of the whole psalm. And when you look at the first verse, it gives us almost, you could say, a summary of that verse as well. Blessed means you look at the effects. When you look at law, you look at the cause and the effects. David was able, at the end of his life, throughout his life, at the end of when he wrote this psalm, he could say that he was blessed because he walked in God's way. Now, walk means I can stand up and I can walk to the piano. I can walk to one of you and shake your hand. Or I can walk and go to the kitchen in the back and enjoy the meal. That is just taking a walk. But what is David talking here about walking? He's speaking of a way of life. One day after the other day, one step at another step, each day of his life, he's walking in a specific direction. He concluded that he was blessed. And everyone that is sincere in God's way, walk in his way, in God's word and his truth, would have the same result, so to speak. King David understood this, brethren, that blessed is the man that walks in God's way. Now, why should God's law be central in our lives? We know that it is, but why, if we go and why did God use the psalm, the longest psalm, give us instruction on his way? Now, there I could find about 8 different themes of the psalm, and I just wanted to go through some of them as examples. The first one, the central theme of this psalm, is love to go towards God's word. Another one would be meditating on God's word. Guidance and wisdom. David asking God certain times in his life for guidance and wisdom. And now contrast that towards what we read in the contract law. That is something that's personal. Something that's personal to David, asking God for guidance, walking in his way of life for a lifetime to be able to ask for guidance. Think about going to a lawyer that made that contract and wrote that contract to you and ask him for guidance in your life. That would not work. He would say, no, my job is solely focused on this law contract that we are, or this contract that we are talking about. Another theme is obedience and righteous living. Affliction and perseverance. Prayer for understanding, that's another theme. The 7th one here is delight in God's law. And the 8th one is contrast with the wicked. The contrast with the wicked. And I want to just focus here, highlight, brethren, we ask why we should make God's law central in our lives. Focus here on the 7th one that says, delight in God's law. David delighted in God's way. 7 times in this psalm, in 176 verses, he used the word delight, and one time he used the plural that says delights. Again, when you think about law, he's speaking about the effects of what he could see. What does delight mean? It means he had pleasure. He valued what he experienced. It was great value. That's why he placed God's law, God's way, God's word in the center of his life. Because to him it had value. It has value to you and me as well. We have been walking, some of us, for many years, some maybe for a shorter period of time. But you can see the results. You can say, and I can say, just as David decided, through God's inspiration, all the words that he could use, God decided to use the word blessed, that he could see the result that was a blessing. When he followed God's way, it had value to him. It gave him pleasure. Again, when you read man's laws, it doesn't tend to give you pleasure. God inspired him, and through his life, David put God's word, his way, right in the center of his life, and that gave him delight. That's the reason why you and I, brethren, should do the same. How much value do we place on that, what we've been given? Brethren, just as the planets were created and they gravitate towards the center of that solar system, that star, similarly, you and I were created to have only one thing in the center of your life. Not two, not three, not five, not ten. There can be only one thing that is in the center of our lives. Let's turn, and I'm not going to go. You can keep your hands in Psalm 119, but I wanted to take you to one verse at least outside of the psalm, and please turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and we will just pick up in verse 24. Just one verse here, everyone. There can only be one thing in our lives. David, through the years that he lived God's way, he came to that conclusion. You sometimes wonder, the 176 verses that he was inspired to write, how long did it take him to write them? Did he just go one night and sit down and just the inspiration flowed and out of his pen he could just write 176 verses? No, it took a long time making a decision on what's going to be the first verse and the next one and the next one. What is the word that God inspired him to use for the very first word of the very first verse? But here you are with me in Matthew 6 and verse 24, and it says, Christ said, no man can serve two masters. Again, reiterating that there can be only one thing that you ultimately serve, one thing that you gravitate towards. He's speaking about working, he's speaking about employment, but we will see what Christ says here at the end of the verse. You cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one, you will gravitate towards the other one and abhor or hate the other one, the one of the two. You cannot have both of them as your master and love the other, or else he will hold, it means to adhere, or he will gravitate towards that one master and despise the other. And Christ says to you and me, everyone here at the end, it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can only have one thing that is central in your life. And I think about a hard lesson that I had to learn in my life. God didn't call me at this point, but there was a point, and I might have mentioned it to some of you in the past, when I had to make a decision with employment, that there was a week in my life where I was transitioning from one employer to the next. And I didn't understand this principle, but today it was seared into my mind where I had to go and I would work, and I looked at my work schedule for that week because I had to transition from one employer to the next. And I realized I'm going to have only one proper night's rest for a whole week because I have to work for the one employer and for the other one, and my schedule would just not work out. I had to make a decision. Looking back, maybe I didn't make the best decision in how I handled the situation, but it seared into my mind, it's impossible to have two masters in employment. But we are talking about what is central in our life. So let's go back to Psalm. We can only have one thing that's central. Christ made that very strong statement. Mammon there in Matthew brethren, just means confidence in financial or riches or treasure. We do not put our confidence in that treasure. As Christians, we do not pursue wealth because that is not the thing that we put in the center of our lives. It's not wrong to pursue a career. It's not wrong to pursue what a hobby and things that are important in your life, your job. You are thinking about those things, but it's not the center of our lives. It's not the most important thing. You tend to, as Christ said, you tend to neglect the other things in your life. If you put something in the center, let's say you put your children in the center of your life, or your job, you can tend to neglect other things, because that first thing, that central thing, becomes your focus. You see people in the world that are very wealthy, and their children can be neglected, or their marriage can be neglected, because they spend so much time on that one thing that's their focus that they forget about everything else. But God wants His word, His truth, in the center of our lives. And as I mentioned, it doesn't mean everything else is not important. But if His truth and His word and His law is in our center of our lives, then we will spend time to grow and develop everything else. He instructs us to do that, so we will be well-rounded. Every part of our life will benefit. Our marriage, our relationship with each other here at services or the Bible study, or here at headquarters or the congregation itself, or thinking about home for those that are at home. If God's law is at the center of your life, then everything else will benefit. Not just that one thing that you focus on. If you focus on something else, if you put something else in the middle, you will tend to focus on that. Nature abhors a vacuum. There must be something in the center. And we said it gravitates. Ultimately, something will always want to fill that hole. It can be, as I mentioned, a person. It can be a goal, a passion. None of those things are wrong to pursue. None of those things are wrong to think about. Or they are not less important. They should not just be central in our lives. There can only be one thing that can be central in our lives. They are important, but not and should not be central. So that is something everyone just to think about. A couple of simple things that we went through. Now, as we get to almost the middle of the Bible study, we can ask, how do we apply this in our daily lives? How do we keep God's word, His truth, His way of life, what you and I understand, in the middle? As Christians, how do we focus on that one thing that is central? And I'm just going to give you today three things that you can focus on a daily basis. David did that. David was able to do that, and we will see that. The first thing, everyone, is the commitment. We have a commitment to God's law, to His word, and to His truth. A commitment. Let's think about this psalm again, the longest psalm in all of the psalms. It has 176 verses, as I mentioned, and they are broken up in 22 sections. Each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at the first verse we read, blessed, in the Hebrew the word blessed there would be starting with Aleph, or in the alphabet, the A. In our alphabet, it would be starting with an A. Then you go to the next section, and each section has eight verses. And ultimately, dividing the 176 between the 22 or through 8, you get either 22 or 8. It shows perfection. Think again about when David wrote the psalm. How long did it take him? We do not know. We do not know how long did he go in the evening after a long day. We said he was King David. Think about all the responsibilities that he had on a daily basis. He had the power to give somebody mercy, or if he said somebody would die, he had the power that they could die. He had the power to accumulate wealth. God instructed the kings of Israel not to do that. But if he wanted to have horses for war, he could accumulate horses. He could think about all the things that he had to do on a daily basis. And then God used him and inspired him that it happened at the end of the day after taking a shower, after he ate, sat down and said, I've done all these things today. Now I can go and meditate a little bit on God's word. Did he write one verse over a long period of time? We can see that he wrote this, brethren, with his life in mind. He was committed to God's way. And he could write at the end when he finished the psalm, and he started the psalm with being blessed. That is an end result. He didn't just sit there and say, I'm going to start with the word blessed. He started with the word blessed because he could see in his life that his life was blessed. How long did he meditate on that? But he was committed to this, to God's word, to his truth. He was committed to it because God's word to him had value. But it's also perfect. This whole psalm reflecting God's word, that it's perfect. Now God says that he is committed to his word. And just that should be enough for you and me, everyone. But he went further. He saw it throughout his life, each and every day. He writes about his commitment to God's way because he lived it. God helped him in every situation. He could go to him. Think about the themes that we discussed. He could ask him for protection and God would give him protection. He helped him to put sin out of his life, to fear God, to have hope, to seek his judgments. His word was his counselor. He said that I had respect unto your law. And he received comfort in times of distress. When he asked for understanding, God gave him understanding. He had contact with God through on a personal level. All that he could experience on a daily basis helped him to be more and more committed to God's word, to his way. And brethren, Psalm 119 reminds us about our commitment. Let's read verse 57. It reminds you and me, God is and was committed. He just said, I'm committed to my way. David throughout his life was committed. That should be enough for you and me. But here we see a reminder about our commitment. And you'll see, interestingly enough, everyone, as I go through the Psalms and the verses that I picked, many of them are the first section of, I didn't choose that per se, but they are the first section of the 22. Some of them, this one, I don't know if I pronounce it correctly, but it's spelled C-H-E-T-H, so Sheth. So the C in the alphabet, this verse is the start of that specific section. And it reads, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep your words. David made a decision at some point in his life, just as you and I made a commitment to God's way. At baptism, we made a commitment to be committed. David made that commitment. Through his life and through this psalm, we see the importance of our commitment that we made. And if we are committed and stay committed to the importance and the value of God's way in our lives, that will help us to keep it central each and every day. Our commitment that we made, that we remind ourselves on a daily basis. When things want to take that first position in your life, then you can remind yourself, I made a commitment to this one thing. If this one thing is central in my life, everything else will go well. But I must make sure that nothing crowd or nothing take this one thing, this central thing in my life's place. They would want to crowd it. As we said, everything tends to gravitate towards the center. There are other things that we spend time with. It's not wrong to spend time with other things. But ultimately, what is at our center, if we stay committed to God's way, that His word and His way will stay central in our lives. This psalm, everyone, was also written in the form that we saw already. It's a poem, but it also was set to music. Music inspires people. This psalm should inspire you and me. Just reading that one verse should inspire you and me to think about the commitment that you and I made. What was that? Remember the time when God called you, how excited you and I were about the truth. It was almost like music in our ears when we heard it for the first time. It felt like you could jump over a mountain. You could run over and across an ocean and over fire, just because that first love that you and I had for God's truth. Remind yourself, when you maybe have a down day, or things are difficult, or you go through a test or a trial, that you remind yourself, I made a commitment. Think about that first love that you had, how excited you were. David had to be inspired to write this to music. And that inspired him as well, maybe sitting down, how am I going to write the notes, or how am I going to make sure that this is like a poem. He was inspired by it because he lived it. He was committed to God's way, brethren, just as God is committed, just as you and I are committed and continued. And we can do one simple thing on a daily basis. Remind ourselves about our commitment. I am committed to this way of life. I want this way of life to stay at the center of my life. We could not get enough of it. Do not let that wane, that excitement that you had about God's truth. Remind yourself, take time to do that. And that leads us to the simple second point, everyone. I mentioned just three things that will help you and me to stay focused, to help us to think about that one thing that's central in our lives and to keep it central each and every day. And David, I already alluded to it, but David delighted in God's word through meditation. He reflected on his path while he was walking. I mentioned it was not a real walk that he talked about in verse 1. It's a way of life. It's every step that he took, every direction that he went in his life. He thought about it. Let's read verse 59. We were in verse 57, jumping two verses here, everyone. I thought on my ways. So he didn't go throughout a day without allowing himself to think back on his ways, on what he said that day. How was he reacting to maybe one of those in his courts, or maybe to his children or his wife? We can use that example. How did I respond to my employer or my employee? How did I speak to the cashier at the grocery store? You think back on those things. David said here, again, thinking about law, brethren, it's not dry. It's not putting you to sleep thinking about God's way. This was something that was inspired that we can live and utilize and use each and every day. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. Verse 26, let's turn to verse 26. It says, I've declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Declared there means to recount or to count. He sat down, he took some time each and every day to count what he did or recount. But it can also mean to scribe, to write it down. And a simple way, brethren, for you and me, to keep God's way by being committed to it, but another way as we delight in meditation and thinking about God's way, simply to write the things down that we are learning. Take some time. Take a 3x5 card, the lessons that you've learned that you won't forget it. Maybe have a journal that you jot down ideas, lessons that you've learned. Maybe you go and you walk your way, your life, and a year later, you open, you do self-examination or you study, and you open your journal and you look at what is today. Today is the 10th of January. You look back 1 year. What was your attitude that day? How did you respond? What was the things that you were struggling with on that day? And you can go back and say, wait a minute, a year ago I was struggling with this. I overcame it. I'm stronger now. I'm thinking about because I've applied. I've walked a whole year applying God's way in my life, putting it at the center of my life, believing and trusting that things will work out. And whatever you've been struggling with, whatever that attitude was, whatever that thought process in your mind, you can see and you can compare it. You can recount it and look back and see, I've grown in that specific area. But if you don't write it down, you will not remember what you said or thought about yesterday. Our lives are fast. It's fast-paced. You forget about things. But if you write them down, you begin to see patterns in your life. You begin to recount things where you can say, I need to still work on this. I've been struggling for 5 years with this, and it's not just the 10th of January coming up. I struggled with this last week. And here it's popping up again. So David, in all the time that he had, brethren, with his busy life, we could say, he didn't just jot down this perfect psalm set to music, a poem, how long it took him, but he also made it a point in his life. And he wants you and me remind us the importance of just writing down, scribing down maybe a thought, maybe just an idea, a lesson that you have learned. Maybe you find yourself that you realize, I'm more negative, or I become critical at certain things, critical about God's work, critical about somebody in the congregation, critical about what you are learning or hearing. Or you become opinionated. Those things you begin to see, they can begin to take that first place in your life. But if David said here in verse 26, I declared my ways and you heard it, teach me your statutes. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. It means he made small adjustments. He wrote it down. He was aware. He was always thinking about God's way. It doesn't matter if he walked through the halls of the palace. He was thinking about his ways, every step. And he could make small adjustments each and every day rather than coming at a point after 10 days or a year and realize, I fell into this sin. Or we know that he he fell into certain things that he couldn't see, and God had to show him those. But he made it a point to make small adjustments each and every day as he walked, by finding delight in meditating on God's way. It wasn't something when he had to go and study or pray or meditate or even fast when it was needed, using the tools of Christian growth. It wasn't that he could be like when we read about the law, it was boring. Oh, I have to go and do it again. No, he found delight in doing that because he could see the results of that in his life. He could make those minor adjustments on a daily basis. And you and I can do the same, brethren. How can we do it? By counting our blessings. The psalm started with blessed. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. He expected blessings from God. He knew if he would obey him that there would be certain blessings. He wouldn't necessarily see them. He had to be focused on them. Otherwise, he would miss them. That's why he also meditated day in and day out. He counted. He didn't just recount his ways, but he also counted his blessings. Brethren, if God's truth is central in our lives and remains central, then everything that revolves around it, as I mentioned, will benefit, it will develop, it will grow. Think about the blessings that you and I have. The abundance and the bounty just to receive God's truth on a daily basis. To go on the website, open your Bible, take a Real Truth magazine, the Pillar magazine, and you can go and you can read it at any time. Think about the principles that it teaches us about our health, to be and to stay healthy. This world is in turmoil, but you and I sit in peace. We can take an hour of our day and just in peace be together, share a meal. Brethren around the world, you can come together where you are able to do that for this Bible study and do that in peace. You and I know people around the world. I remember when I grew up, I only knew a few people. My world was small for many years. But in God's way, you and I know people in other parts of the world. You have friends in Kenya, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in South Africa, in Australia. You know people around the world. That is a benefit that you and I have been given. As we go through this world and things are collapsing, people are, think about the pandemic, how they became just clustered into their homes. Not even families talking to each other. You and I have each other. That's a benefit that you can recount each and every day. The amount of friends, you can increase that amount. There might be people that you haven't spent that much time with in the past, in your house, your family. Then you can expand it to the congregation, expand it to those that you see in the Pillar. When you open the Pillar magazine, you see, oh, I haven't contacted so-and-so yet. Oh, I want to be friends with so-and-so. Think about we're going to have a social pretty soon. That's a benefit that God has given us. And that, I'm sure, when you just think about all the names of those that you know that made you excited, that inspired you. And brethren, that is what you and I have. Small things in our life that we can think about and thank God for. That's blessings. If you put money or your career in the center of your life, that's the only thing that you focus on. You begin to lose focus on things like I mentioned now that you and I have that people might lose their focus on. But we have it, brethren. We understand God's plan. Just that statement alone. Most people in the world have no idea about God's plan. think about all the intricacies that we are learning about it. Just the phrase that I'm saying, you and I know God's plan, most people in the world have no idea. That's something to be thankful for. Another thing is, freely, brethren, God's word is truth. Everything that you and I have has been given to us for free. That thing that's center in our lives, God's word, His truth, has been given to us. It cost us nothing. It's free. And you and I go, and for free, we go and give that truth because we want more people. There's a way how God's church does it. How we take, we want to give that. We want everyone ultimately to fill that spot in their life, that center spot, that one spot has to be filled. And it has to be filled with God's word, with God's truth. Everyone that ever lived was created to have one thing central in their lives. And it has to be God's word. It doesn't mean other things are not important, but that one thing must be central in their lives, and we have to keep it central on a daily basis in our lives. And just meditating on the things that I mentioned, the benefits, what we've been given, brethren, will help us to keep that and protect that. Let's think about the teens, young people. Let's go, and I mentioned the sections. Let's read verse 9. Verse 9 is the second section of the psalm, and it's thinking about the teens. Now, when we read the psalm, you think David just sat down and he thought, there's some young people in the kingdom. I'm going to write about them or think about my teens for a moment. He probably thought about his life when he was young when we read this. Wherewithal shall a young man, or we can add a young lady, cleanse his or her way? How can you keep your life clean? You are in a very special situation, young people and teens. You begin to think about what is important. What are those other things around the central spot in my life? What are those things that are important? You're beginning to think about your career. What do I want to do? Do I want to get married? You see today, in filling out a form, all these pronouns, he, she, it, and all the things that you as young people have to work through. But God made boys and girls should like boys and boys, girls. You are beginning to think about, I want to get married. If God's going to allow that. Or my career, or the hobbies that I have, the interests, you are beginning to think about those things that are important in your life. But you also have this special opportunity, a time in your life, where you must make a decision on what's going to be central in my life. Here, David says, how do I keep my life clean? How do I make sure that all the things that's important in my life will stay that way? It says, by taking heed thereunto according to your word. Heed there means to guard, to protect. Young people and teens, you have the opportunity to make a decision on what's going to be central and to guard it, to protect it, to say, for the rest of my life, I'm going to make this decision on God's word. His truth is going to be central. You are able to make the decisions of all the other things, but also about what is central, what is most important, the things that you're learning at camp or the Bible studies that you receive. Again, the teens and the young people across the globe, they don't have even an inkling of an idea that there is something as simple as something as central or should be central in your life. You have that opportunity to think about that and to make that decision. The last point, everyone, the last way, just on a daily basis to help us to understand and keep that focus, to gravitate towards God's word, towards His way of life, towards His truth, is a prayerful personal connection and contact with God. Prayerful, personal connection and contact with God. Let's go to verse 73. Again, it wasn't intentional, but as I wrote down and worked on this message, I saw the first sections jumping out, and I'm going to stop trying to pronounce them. At one point, Hebrew is not going to sound Hebrew anymore, so I'll just keep it at that. But this one is G-O-D, Jot, in verse 73. The first verse of another section. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Think about that, everyone. God was personally involved when you and I were created. I have hands. I have feet. I have eyes. That's something that we can be thankful about. God was involved in that. But each breath that you take, each opportunity that you wake up in the morning, that you can still say, I'm alive. To go, and we will see another verse pretty soon here, but God was involved with that. He was involved in your life. He's personally involved with you. It's again not that contrast of reading a contract law where the lawyer is far retrieved from that contract. He's just looking for receiving the commission from the contract. But God was interested and is still interested in your life. And he wants you to have contact with him just as David had with God on a constant basis. He understood that God made him, he fashioned him, and gives him understanding that I may learn your commandments. You and I are alive to learn God's way of life. We bump our head, we stub our toe as we go through this process in keeping God's way central in our lives. But God says he's involved in that. He wants to continue to remain involved in that. Let's go to verse 41. This psalm, everyone, reveals more about God. That would be a reason for you and me to want to be connected, prayerfully, personally connected with him. Verse 41. This is the one that I mentioned that I will stop, try to pronounce. But it's V-A-U. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even your salvation. David knew that God would give him salvation. He gave him mercy. He gives him forgiveness. And he looked at his life and said, I need salvation. And he realized that there's only one being. If he kept his way central in his life, that he would ultimately receive salvation from that being, that God, our God, that also made that promise to you and me, that we will receive salvation if we continue to obey him and follow his ways, just as David did. Let's read verse 49 and verse 50. Remember your word unto your servant, upon which you has caused me to hope. Living his life, brethren, and keeping God's way in the center of his life caused David to hope. He prayed. He had contact with God, but God did not always answer immediately. But through his life, he could know God will answer me because I lived this way. I could see his response to me in that situation. I will patiently wait. It creates hope. It creates an expectation that God will answer if you and I stay connected with him each and every day on a daily basis, making that time and using the tools that we already mentioned and that you are aware of, brethren. Nothing we are talking about today is unknown to us. It's just a reminder of what is central in our lives and how to keep it at the center and the forefront of our lives. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word quickens me. God's word give us life. David knew that in difficult times he could go in prayer. And he could stand up. He could man up. He could say, I'm going to go through this day Whatever I'm facing, God is with me. He will comfort me. He will strengthen me. And that gave David hope. It didn't matter what he was facing on that, in that particular day. Verse 114. So we almost begin to draw to a close, everyone. Verse 114, it says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Everything that David mentions in almost every verse, he connects it to God's word. He connects it to the truth that he goes through. You are my hiding place. You and I can go in prayer and stay connected with God on a daily basis. Thank him and ask him, "I ran to you before in this and this situation. I'm doing it again. I expect, I'm hoping for the same result." To have that protection on a daily basis. "You're my hiding place and my shield." We don't know when we come under a spiritual attack, brethren. But if we stay close to God, in prayerful and being connected with him, ultimately that protection will be there when we need it, when we run to him in that moment, ask him in that moment for help. When God's law is central in our lives, brethren, we become more like him. If we do the following, if we long and yearn for it, that's what David did in verse 103, it says, "How sweet are your words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I got understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Think about honey, brethren. There are so many different types of honey, different colors from different flowers that bees make it. But if you close your eyes and you taste maple syrup, you will say, "That's not honey." But somebody can give you any type of honey and you will say, "That is honey." Doesn't matter what the taste difference or the different notes are. David realized when he came in contact with God's truth, it tasted to him like honey and he yearned for it. It was sweet, God's word sweeter than honey. Let's read verse 20. How did he feel about yearning after God's way? "My soul breaks," it says dissolve, "my life dissolve, it breaks for the longing that I have unto your judgments at all times." Every day, every moment, he yearned for the truth like honey. I want it. Because he could see the results. He could look at that first word and he said, "God inspired me to write blessed." Because everything that we talked about, brethren, he could see the effects of living God's way. And he started to yearn more and more for it on a daily basis. Brethren, as we conclude, that central thing in your life, what we talked about, it might be single, but it should not stay static. There's only one thing. God's word, God's truth should take that central spot in our lives, but it should not stay small and it should not stay static. It can grow. What do I mean by that? In what way can it grow? Verse 32. Let's read verse 32. We stayed right here in the psalm, brethren, and you can make a study of this psalm at home and see what the themes, the things that you find interesting, the things that can help you. But look at what David said. "I will run the way." It's not just walking anymore. He started to say, "I'm ready to run. I'm yearning after your truth." And he said, "I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart." Enlarge what is central in your life. It becomes more valuable. When you delight more and more in God's way. When you see the benefits, brethren, it will not stay small. You would want the yearning. It will become bigger and bigger. That central thing will become bigger and bigger in your life. It will take a greater importance in our lives. And that will help it to stay central. David wanted God's way to be in the forefront of his mind for the rest of his life. But he knew that it could grow. And he asked God, make it so big in my mind that it will never move. Something that is bigger, it's more difficult to move. If it's small, it's easy to move from the center. But if it's a granite block or block of gold, of stone, of iron, you cannot move it. It stays in the mill. He wanted to be as big in his life as possible, that it would never take second spot, but it will always be in the center and number one in his life. Brethren, as we conclude here, let's read two verses, verse 62. It reads, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto you because of your righteous judgments. Did David just wake up, set his clock every night for midnight? What does this mean, at midnight? It means when, brethren, let's make it practical, when you wake up, maybe you are thirsty or you had a bad dream, you wake up. David says, when I wake up, I will rise and give thanks. The first thing in his mind was God's way and the results that it had in his life. It didn't matter if he woke up at midnight, at 3, or any other time of the night. The first thing in his mind was God's way and to give him thanks. He started to meditate upon it and think about it. And he wants to relay that to you and me, that you and I can do the same. Verse 63, I'm a companion of all them that fear you and of them that keep your precepts. He's a companion, brethren. You and I are companions. We are a small group of people, a little flock that realize and understand what should be central in our lives. We are companions with those that are fear God. I'm looking at people that fear God, and brethren around the globe that hear this Bible study, fear God. We are all companions with David, ultimately a small group of people that understand what should be central and then what the effects of that is. But he gave God thanks for that, and you and I can do the same, brethren. With David, all who served and obeyed God were all companions in the commitment to keep God's truth central in their lives, to delight in his way by making it part and seeing the effects in our lives, brethren, each and every day through meditation, finding that delight. And together we grow our personal connection with God and each other. Good night.